Hey, everybody, we're back.
Good morning.
This is our Terrible Tuesday episode. Tuesday. It is November 10th, 2020, and this is episode 117.
Woof.
Yep. Maybe just we'll dive in and introduce ourselves and get right to the juicy tidbits. I'm Mark Van Sunik. I direct the Center for Prophetic Imagination.
And I'm Daniel Wolpert. I direct MICA, the Minnesota Institute of Contemplation and Healing. And, you know, after 117 episodes, this is one of our first pun names, I think.
Really?
We've had a couple.
I'm such a punster.
I know. Well, we both are. It's actually been good. This has been a low pun show.
We're holding back.
Yeah, which I think is healthy. And, yeah, it's good to see you guys, Kathleen, Gus, whoever else is on there. Mm-hmm. And so it's been an interesting few days.
Yes. I wanted to go with a pun that was like orange, but there's nothing rhymes with orange, so we stuck with boo-hoo de ta. Pretty proud of that.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's impressive.
Thank you.
Just that's like you.
I live to serve and to illuminate the minds of many, Dan.
Well, you're succeeding.
One pun at a time.
One pun at a time. Yes. Destroying the world. One pun at a time.
You know, this is so I have mixed feelings about this because in one thing it's funny. Like, so this is why there's a pun. There is a certain level of humorousness to the petulance of Donald Trump refusing to give in if it weren't consequential. Like, the problem is it is consequential.
Yeah.
This could go bad. Like, it's easy to be like, he's just a buffoon. Things will get, that's right. CK got married over the weekend.
CK got married. Wow.
Congratulations. I saw in your wedding pictures or reception pictures or whatever, just afterwards, and there was Cthulhu in your wedding party. That was really
impressive. Did you create a super spreader event with your wedding, or was it, not that.
The only thing that they super spread is joy.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
But the consequences of this, you know, it's easy just to joke and like, oh, they're crybabies. But things like this can always go in unexpected directions. And it's just problematic if you set a precedent for just digging in your heels and refusing to give up power.
Yeah, I mean, right. So to bring people kind of up to speed who maybe don't get our brilliant pun. So when last we were together, the election had still not yet been called. Mm-hmm. But then it was called on Saturday. And of course, you know, Democratic world went crazy and everybody was super happy and excited, which was really nice. And it very quickly has become apparent that the GOP has taken a playbook right out of, some kind of fascist dictatorship and basically pretending that the election is not real or valid. And they, as far as I can tell, are going to do everything possible to try to steal this, and they really don't care what the consequences of that are. And it's not just the presidency, right? So yesterday, the two people who are now running for office in Georgia for the Senate seat basically told the Secretary of State to resign because they didn't like what the results of the election were.
The Republican Secretary of State of this.
The Republican Secretary of State, right. And this is always the thing about dictators, right? Is there is a level of hilarity to it. I mean, there is always a level of absurdity. They are like these weird cartoon clown buffoons. Mm-hmm. except they're also destroying their country and taking over power. And so that's one of the odd paradoxes of dictators, and why I think that actually they sort of succeed, because I think a lot of people just are like, well, this couldn't happen. You know, Trump couldn't actually steal this election. And it's like, no, they actually could. Not exactly clear, you know, completely how, but it is interesting to me to watch all these folks on the Biden side just be like, okay, we won, it's fine, everything's over, let's go back to puppy pictures. It's like, this is not over, you know, and the Democrats are already starting to fight with each other about their platform and position and who's, it's like, this is not over. This is not anywhere near over, as far as I can tell.
What's likely to happen, still the likeliest outcome, is there'll be a transfer of power. But that's not a foregone conclusion. Like in situations like this, you know, it helped. Like the sign of hope, one of the biggest signs of hope is that Fox News isn't having it. They're doing what other networks are doing. And then when they see Trump starting to, like, when people start making claims of like widespread fraud, they cut away just like every other network, because they're like, no, that's not. This is why we're talking about this before, but it's because at the end of the day, Fox News is corporate, and corporations like continuity and consistency, something that disrupts. They like Biden enough. Corporations like Biden enough to not risk things by banking for Trump and causing disruption and destabilization. But corporations are only one kind of part of the base of the Republican Party, though. So there are other people like the OAN network, which I had the joy of watching this weekend out of curiosity. That's the network that formed because they thought Fox News was too liberal. They're reporting it as news that there has been a coup, that there's actually a coup that's happened. The Democrats have taken over the country through through their illegal shenanigans.
Yeah. You know, that's like a network that breaks away from Fox because Fox is too liberal. That's kind of like, you know, the Baptists that leave their Baptist church to form another Baptist church because the first church was too liberal.
Or the my favorite is the Amish broke from the Mennonites because the Mennonites started becoming so progressive that they thought, maybe we shouldn't shun people. And the Amish are like, you're liberal. And so they started their own group so they could keep shunning. That it's always funny when it's like that level of kind of an extreme that is the splitting point.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's have some comments here. Again, CK, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Gus, this is the best thing to come out of this is the whole Four Seasons thing. Why don't you have a Four Seasons virtual background? Because we're lazy. That's why. Yeah. Or we didn't think.
No, actually, you know what's right up there with the Four Seasons one was the whole Georgia thing. Did you hear that thing?
What Georgia?
Yeah. So there were all these people. I mean, this post went viral. There were 4-5 million votes cast in Georgia, but Georgia only has 4 million people. And there's a little clip of this population thing that says Georgia, 5 million people, except the clip was the country of Georgia in Asia. But all these people picked this up, and then people are like trying
never to- Never thought of fact checking. Right. Clearly obvious that Georgia doesn't have 5 million people.
I saw this one thread where people are like, that's the country of Georgia. And then people are like, Georgia isn't a country, it's a state. You know, and they're like, no, Georgia is actually a country too.
I still don't know whether to think it's hilarious or just like it's terrifying and funny at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
I get it not really knowing that is. Georgia, but there's a lot of former Soviet bloc nations or whatever that it's hard to keep track. I get like not everyone's going to know all the names of the countries of the world, but that's one. There's a number of clues. There's a number of things that are like, wait, maybe I should look into this and maybe Google the population of Georgia. Kathleen writes, at my Trump church in Missouri, The folks are still waiting to see who is going to win the presidential election.
Yeah.
I saw U.S. flags being flown upside down. So much fun in Missouri.
Yeah.
I'm always okay with flying the flag upside down for other reasons, but not that. That's dumb.
Yeah. Well, and you know, so this is, to me, you know, kind of this next level or the next iteration or evolution of this collective insanity that we're in the midst of, right? And it, you know, we can't forget that this is also happening at the same time when, I mean, now our entire healthcare system in the United States is collapsing because of the pandemic. You know, there are now less than a dozen hospital beds available of any kind in the Twin Cities. So, you know, if you get sick, not from COVID, from anything, you know, you're going to be in a hallway somewhere. This is happening all over the country. So, you know, and this is, of course, caused by the fact that pretty much the same group that voted for Trump also believes the pandemic is under control, doesn't exist, continuing to spread it. People are getting sicker and sicker and sicker. All the other crises that we've got going are still going on. And so this is just part of this ongoing storm. And again, what is fascinating to me about this as a psychological study in power is how you really see how these people in power do not care about the results, right? They do not care if the entire country burns down. They don't care if our healthcare system collapses. And this is this, you know, when we have this phrase, you know, drunk with power. I mean, this is what we're seeing right in front of our eyes.
CK is reassuring us that their wedding was COVID safe.
Great. Excellent.
Some more love for the great pun in the title.
There we go.
CK writes, Trump is going out like Nero. He would rather watch America burn, just like what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
It's really not about the sense of common good is not there.
No.
It's about the supremacy of himself, but maybe, and for others, it's the supremacy of certain ideas being so important that it's worth killing millions of people in order to maintain that value.
Yeah. Well, and the supremacy of this intersection of whiteness and capitalism.
Yeah.
And you know, I think I yesterday I was listening to this black woman who's a professor at Rutgers talking about this, you know, and how you know, this on both the liberal and conservative side, this need to maintain white power structures really does rise above everything else. Mm-hmm. And I think that you know, on a spiritual side, in the Buddhist tradition, they talk about the fruition of karma, you know, or karma ripening, which is kind of an interesting phrase, I think. And it's this idea basically that these habits and patterns kind of go along, and maybe they're sort of underground, and you know, you kind of know they're there and they're manifesting in different ways, but it may not be as big of a deal, right? And so if you look at America, you know, in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and even with a lot of the upheaval that we had, there was still we're kind of going along. And, you know, and now there really is this explosion of insanity. And that's this idea of the karma finally ripens, right? The fruit of all of these years and decades and centuries of not dealing with this fundamental flaw in American development. And, you know, this has happened before, right? Civil War was another example of this. You know, it finally erupts. Like the energy cannot be maintained underground anymore. And, you know, that's very much what we're seeing.
Juneteenth all over again. Not exactly sure where that's all going. If you want to say more, Julia, that'd be great. At least they weren't kneeling.
Well, maybe they were.
Lisa writes, there is a Trump flag on a truck outside our polling place. It wasn't a voter. I heard all sorts of stories about this. Yeah. So a number of people kind of trying to observe polling places, and a lot of just ostentatious trucks with five flags on it and covered with bumper stickers coming to intimidate voters. That seemed to happen a lot. William writes, what stage of the collapse of the empire do you think this is? How many years has the U.S. got left? I do think that the high point of the American empire was probably somewhere in the Bush years. Right. And we've been in this state of decline.
Yeah.
And the things, what happens in the state of decline is you have to start moving from operating in soft power to more overt hard power. So this is what makes something like this terrifying. It's because all of a sudden, if you can't maintain control, white supremacist capitalist control through economic pressures and influence, then you have to start using naked power. And that's not fun.
Yeah, no, William, I was actually thinking about this yesterday. And, you know, to me, an analogy really is what's happened with the mainline church in America, right? Which is that, and one of the great jokes about this that I really like is that, you know, Brontosaurus is so big, if you cut off its head, it takes a few days for its tail to find out. And so, you know, when you're dealing with a system that's as big as the United States, you know, collapse and something dying, you know, takes a long, long time. And, in, you know, like with the mainline church, those of us who are involved with that often talk about the fact that it's sort of already dead, but it's so big that there are still things happening, and there will still be things happening for a long, long time. But as a really vital social and cultural phenomenon, it's kind of already done. And I think that in some ways, right now, we could say that about the United States. I mean, when you now actively have half of the political system who basically is trying to convince everybody that our electoral system no longer works. I mean, let's be very clear. That's what's going on. You know, this whole bullshit about, oh, you know, Trump has 100% right to question, you know, the legal ballots. No, he doesn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, the assumption has always been that our voting system works. And the fact is that it basically does, right? I mean, if you were able to live stream vote counting. You know, if you look at all the things that these poor people and, you know, counters and secretaries of state and polling place people, the stuff they go through, I mean, it works. There is no fraud. People have investigated this over and over and over and over again. There is no fraud, right? So when you start saying that there is fraud, basically what you're doing is very intentionally undermining the electoral system. So in some ways, I could say that the U.S. is done right now. Now, you know, things will drag on for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we're toast.
This is the old standard of blaming your opponents of what you're doing. The Trump does. Like, it's not like he's the first person to do that in power, but he's definitely accelerated that idea of needing to destabilize the legitimacy of the system in order to make himself seem like he alone is legitimate. Like, this sort of thing. I mean, it's narcissism writ large. It's gaslighting, all that kind of stuff. One of the things I hear the most is reading the few Republican friends whose threads I still see on Facebook. It's astonishing to me how many people who I would have thought of as the reasonable Republicans that I know really believe there was voter fraud. And if you bring that up, they'll say, you liberals are hypocritical. Because 4 years ago, you called the election into question. And I said, and this is the funny thing is there's differences, but the differences are lost. The subtlety is lost. Before, 4 years ago, the issue was undue influence from a foreign government under the encouragement of one of the people running for president. So it was encouraging voter interference. There wasn't a big thing about fraud in when it comes to the votes. There was concern about tampering with voting machines that was investigated and moved past. So you didn't have Obama like holding in and saying, well, Trump isn't president. They conceded when he won.
Right. Yeah. No. And this is a very important thing. This whole argument of like, well, Democrats didn't accept the results of the other election. That's completely bullshit. That is completely bullshit. I mean, Obama conceded. I mean, Hillary conceded. You know, Obama let Trump in the White House right away for the transfer. Of course, the Democrats accepted the results of the election. Now, they weren't happy about it. And there are a lot of people that say that, you know, Russia helped throw the election. I don't happen to believe that at all, but you know, that's totally different from saying that the actual votes are illegal and we are not going to acknowledge what has happened with the election. It's completely different.
No, the issue with Trump wasn't that, he stole the election through voter fraud. It was that he encouraged outside interference, including digging up junk on his opponents with the help of a foreign government, and that was maybe impeachable. So it was more about whether or not Trump was engaging in illegal activities with a foreign power, not how the American people voted. So you can say that was dumb. I thought the whole Russia thing was a wild goose chase and not helpful at all, but it's still a different thing. Yeah. And they went through the whole process. They did the whole impeachment thing, didn't quite stick. And, you know, people kind of said, well, I guess we're stuck. And then they elected him out. So the system kind of is flawed and broken as it is still worked. Anyways, so yeah, if you hear people complaining about that, it's just funny.
That's nonsense.
Norman writes, American Revolution, end of the war. America had won. George Washington gave up power. Gave up his command of the army, usually a good mark of a leader, believer in democracy. Dictators rarely give up power, control. Comparison to Trump, he unlikely to give up the fight. I think the likeliest outcome is that he won't really fully concede, but he'll still leave. That's kind of what I think is likeliest to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, you know, and this again goes back to William's question about what stage of decline are we in and how long is it going to take? Yeah, I think that probably the most likely outcome is that he leaves. However, the level of damage that this has all caused.
Yes.
And then, you know, if the Democrats do not win these two seats in Georgia, which I think is unlikely, but it's possible, but unlikely. Mm-hmm. You know, then what's going to happen, right, is that the Senate is just not going to do anything for 4 years. And so, again, this slide into non-functional authoritarianism can just continue. And Trump is already talking about running in 2024.
And this is the thing. Like, so I don't think that's going to be a very feasible election for him. But this is why it's problematic and why we got to make sure we unhinge or unhook our imaginations from just Trump. Because this isn't just Trump's doing at this point. There are people in power who are willing to go along with Trump stuff because they... They so think that Biden, as a centrist, or even right-leaning, if you want to look at it the way I look at it, is so much more problematic. Like, they just want to make sure the Republicans are in control, that they're willing to go along with this delusion. And it shows that what would happen if you had, and there's articles about this, what happens if you had a terrifyingly functional and shrewd person running on the right who is able to doublespeak effectively to the corporate groups and white nationalists in a way that's much more incisive and networked and respectable seeming. Now, what happens now, the reason why I don't think Trump's coup d'etat or boo-hoo d'etat is likely to hook is because the military is like, Biden's going to keep the war machine going, so we're not going to somehow back him. Because
Trump.
They don't like Trump. He shits all over them all the time. And usually for a coup d'etat, you have to have the military's back. or in what, so what Trump's doing, instead of appealing to the military, he appeals to these like Proud Boy types to kind of have his own little thug army, which again, still it's terrifying and nasty, but it still lacks the power for a government takeover. But the problem is what happens in 4 years, because, and it's why I don't like the fact that we ended up with Biden, is because the Biden ethos that we have is kind of created the ground for fascism. It's what we've been talking about. We've talked about that. So really, we have to keep our eye on the ball for the next 4 years and see what trends develop and keep pushing to break free from the stranglehold of like corporatocracy and white supremacy. Because when those, when white supremacy and corporatocracy feels threatened enough, which it feels threatened now, but not nearly as much as it could later, then you're going to see someone rise to power who's much more terrifying than Trump, because he'll seem so reasonable.
He'll seem so effective. Yeah. All right. Let's keep rolling through these comments. This is, Catherine's got a good one, as always.
Catherine writes, when I try to put myself inside the mindset of a Trump true believer, I can imagine how it looks like Biden is stealing the election and the media keeps cutting off the truth tellers. This scares me. What is your read on the potential for violent resistance to the transfer of power from Trump? I think there will be some violence.
Yeah,
hopefully it'll be isolated and like kind of scuffle kind of violence, I'm hoping, is what. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, what I'm much more worried about is Trump not leaving and those on the Democratic side just rolling over and not doing anything. That's what I'm actually much more worried about, that, you know, that all these white liberals, and I can tell you that a lot of folks that I've talked about who are not white are talking about the same thing, that suddenly all these white liberals will roll over and go, well, you know, my 401k is doing all right. I don't want to destabilize everything too much. I guess we sort of have to go along with this. And that's why I feel like this whole thing of everybody assuming that this is just going to go fine and dandy and super smooth, and we need to, you know, stop protesting, stop talking about this, stop paying attention to this. That's why I think that's so dangerous. Because then suddenly when it happens, then everybody will be like, oh man, you mean I need to like gear up to do something again? Nah, I don't really want to. There's going to be a vaccine for COVID soon. It'll be okay. That's what I'm much more worried about.
A scenario that I'm concerned about is Trump refusing to leave, and so Biden has the Secret Service forcefully escort him out. Like, not like in shackles or anything, but just escorted out physically. And I think that could be enough to trigger violent reactions. And also plays in this thing, like, I'm not a Biden fan, really. Much at all. But I recognize his appeal is, and it's what he's pushing into, is he can heal the nation and bring it together. So I don't agree with that tactic or that way of thinking. We've talked about polarization.
Well, and it's not going to work.
No, but if you have him forcibly escorting Trump out, then it gives the Republicans more fodder to feed into this narrative Biden is an authoritarian socialist fascist. Yep. So, which is already so messed up to see Biden as a leftist really at all in any way, shape, or form about anything.
Yeah.
But
it's hilarious.
That's the only side of the polarization equation that I really don't like, is this slide into increasingly fascistic thinking and accusing things that they would accuse Ronald Reagan of being a socialist at this point. And I'm not even kidding. Yeah. Like, it's not even
Ronald Reagan couldn't run for office at all in the current GOP.
No. Even though all this is his fault more than any other one person, including Trump, personally, I think Reagan did more damage than any one other president when it comes to capitalist crap. But that's maybe a whole other topic. Ancient history for the youngsters. Maria writes, the phenomena of Trump can be understood as a result of how power has been consolidated. The Dictator's Handbook is a good political science book that describes this process.
She's got a link to it there.
Unfortunately, these comments are only found in particular threads, so you can fish around Facebook for that, or just Google Dictator's Handbook. Kathleen writes, when I was ordained as an elder in the United Methodist Church in 1990, I was told that the church would soon grow so fast that we'd run out of pastors and that there would be a strong demand for more female pastors. I learned right away that none of it was true. And I also felt that the U.S. was also in decline.
Yeah, that's hilarious that they told you that. See, and by 2000, when I graduated, they were saying the exact opposite, that churches were shrinking so fast and so many pastors were getting old and retiring, and then people were graduating from seminary, that you weren't going to be able to get a job, which has actually proved to be much more correct.
Yeah. So. Scott writes, U.S. imperialism isn't going anywhere at the moment. No, that's unfortunately, that's true. No. Biden and Harris aren't advocating progress, but a return to normal neoliberal imperialism. Our task is to keep track of and oppose U.S. imperialism in all forms, neoliberal and neo-fascist. Yes.
And that we're going to be doing an episode on exactly that. This whole issue of what does it mean to hold Biden accountable? We're thinking of doing that today, but then we've got this. We've been superseded by the coup d'etat. Mm-hmm.
And just to, you know, we say this all the time, but it's worth overstating again and again. Neo-fascism is worse than neoliberalism, but neoliberalism always leads to neo-fascism. So we got to fix the problem, and the problem isn't Trump. He's a symptom of the problem, which makes it worse. Like, I'd rather have stage one cancer than stage four. But still, like, it doesn't say, well, cancer, that's not so bad. CK writes, when you can cast doubt on your own people based on ignorance, you have lost.
Yeah.
Catherine writes, to be clear, I'm saying I think Trump believes he has already accepted, believers have already accepted such a framework of misinformation that I can see how the lies about voter fraud and a pedophile deep state pro-Biden coup fit right in and almost seem plausible.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense from within that framework. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Totally, totally brainwashed, zombified. Yeah, that's very impressive. Yeah, I heard a few of these people interviewed yesterday, and literally nothing they say actually makes any sense except to them. And it's really, as I said, it's a fascinating psychological study. I just wish I was a lot farther away from it.
Did you really just say unhinged? That must have been early in the episode. I think I was trying to say unhooked, and I said unhinged. But unhinged works. And I don't know what the context
depends.
Scott writes, Russiagate was a total Cold War 2.0 farce aimed at increasing anti-Russian pro-NATO sentiment. I tend to agree that Russiagate was like this very unhelpful waste of energy. I don't care. And the number of times I got called a Russian bot because I was a leftist was stupid as hell. Like, it just bothered. This was irritating. So just to say, like, conservatives aren't the only one who can be conspiratorial and foolish and lose sight of what's real. This is a human tendency. And right now, I think most Americans across the spectrum are fooled in all kinds of ways into thinking that this what seems normal is actually good normal. Like, we have it worse than we often think.
But there's not a lot more we can say about that.
Scott writes, yep, as long as brunch is on, the crises are bearable. Lol. Looks like we're going to have a final word from Catherine.
Yes.
Because we're past time. Last week, I posted sarcastically, quote, relax, Biden's not anywhere close to being a leftist, end quote. And a Trump-supporting acquaintance replied, they want to kill babies and sell them for parts. Oh, my God. That interaction felt like it summed up a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, I lied. Philip gets the last word. Then we're going to for sure end. The Sunday before the election, a lady at church spoke in tongues and interpreted immediately, all while wearing a pro-Trump shirt. This is where you need, if you're going to be charismatic, someone else has to interpret the tongues. If you're going to, like,
I know.
You don't trust me. Yeah. I'm not excited about Biden, but Christians need a good kick to the crotch to bring them a sense of humbleness. A one-term president is an embarrassment. Was it God's will for us to see how terrible things could get? The number of prophets out there, self-proclaimed prophets, that are still saying that they prophesied Trump's win, Trump didn't win, and therefore that proves fraud because God doesn't lie. Like that, that is widespread right now. And I'm not even talking, like, we can say that that stuff's fringe, but there are more people that think that way than are part of
yeah.
the than the Mennonite
Presbyterian church.
Or the Presbyterian church.
Yeah. Now, I think we need to do an episode on that, actually. We could throw in the African angels, which that actually was more hilarious than just about anything. But all right. Well, another day of joy and hope and optimism from us. So thanks for listening. And we'll
see
be
you
back
tomorrow. For Woeful Wednesday.
Woeful Wednesday. All right. See y'all later. Love you.
See you.